Cicatelli, and for my project, I have evaluated 4 bioassays and their ability to detect resistance to mitotic-inhibiting herbicides in Poa annua or annual bluegrass. Poa annua can be a problematic weed in turf grass stands. A common method of control is the application of pre-emergent herbicides. These may be safely sprayed in the turf grass stand with limited damage to the host turf. The 4 primary pre-emergent herbicides utilized to control Poa are oxidiazon, the dinitroanilines, pendimethalin and prodiamine, as well as dithiapyr. Oxidiazon is a PPO pigment inhibitor. The dinitroanilines and dithiapyr are mitotic inhibiting herbicides. Both dithiapyr and dinitroanilines disrupt mitosis during anaphase by creating unstable microtubules. However, they have different proteins which they bind to. Dinitroanilines bind to tubulin. Alpha-beta tubulins form heterodimers in a process called nucleation. The subsequent polymerization of these dimers forms a microtubule. Microtubules actively involved in cell division, are such as the ones that make up the mitotic spindle, are constantly depolymerizing from the minus end and being added to the plus end. What dinitroanilines do is they bind to the heterodimer and prevent it from being added to the positive end. However, they do not affect the depolymerization of the microtubule, thus a net loss of microtubules is observed. So, dithiapyr binds to a microtubule-associated protein. Microtubule-associated proteins help stabilize the growing microtubules. Sometimes they act as scaffolding proteins between adjacent microtubules, thus stabilizing more than one microtubule. When dithiapyr is bound to the microtubule-associated protein, the microtubules become unstable and cell division is inhibited. Because these mitotic inhibiting herbicides are so commonly used, resistance has developed in some economically important weeds. The first case of a weed being resistant to dinitroanilines was reported by Mudge et al., they diagnosed a goosegrass population as being resistant while utilizing a soil-based bioassay. The first case of dinitroanilines-resistant Poa annua was reported by Isrig et al. In 2002, and they utilized a filter paper-based bioassay. To this date, there's been no reported resistance to dithiapyr in any weed. It's reported by eNuke's website. So we, as researchers, get many inquiries from turf managers who believe they have a dinitroanilines-resistant Poa ecotype. And it's pretty hard to screen all these requests because there's not been a developed protocol for us to follow to diagnose dinitroanilines resistance. And this can confound the bioassay results as well as cause a delay in resistance. And this delay in resistance can be costly, especially to a turf manager. Because if a turf manager comes to the researcher inquiring about resistance, the researcher will have to harvest the field plants, allow the panicles to develop, harvest the seed, allow the seed to ripen, and finally evaluate resistance. By this time, the turf manager will have already made his fall pre-emergent herbicide application, either spraying dinitroanilines on a Poa annua ecotype that is resistant, thus enhancing a resistant problem and wasting time and money, or he may have switched to a more expensive control strategy when he did not have resistance. So what I've done is I have evaluated 4 bioassays and their ability to detect resistance to these mitotic inhibiting herbicides. 2 old methodologies, the soil-based and filter paper bioassay, as well as 2 new methodologies, an MS media and a hydroponic bioassay. The 2 populations analyzed were a purchase sensitive control from Oregon, which has no resistance to any herbicide mode of action, and a suspected dinitroanilin resistant Poa annua ecotype harvested from Eagles Bluff Golf Course in Chattanooga, Tennessee. Attempts were made to acquire the resistant Poa annua ecotype from North Carolina, however, germplasm was not available. The samples analyzed in the soil-based, filter paper, and MS media bioassays were mature sterilized seed. Hydroponics we analyzed mature tillers. The growth medium for the soil-based bioassay was a native Sequoia loam soil. Growth medium for the filter paper was simply filter paper and tap water. Hydroponics, we utilized a quarter strength Hovland solution. And MS media was a sterile gel media with macro and micro stock solutions and a gelite gelling agent. The MS media and filter paper were grown in an incubator, hydroponics was grown under growth lights, and soil-based was grown in a greenhouse. In the soil-based bioassay, we applied the dinitrogenolones at doubling rates from 0.28 to 2.24 kilograms per hectare. For dithiopyrene, we applied at doubling rates from 0.14 to 1.2 kilograms per hectare. In the filter paper, hydroponic, and MS media bioassays, we incorporated the herbicides at increasing logarithmic rates from 0.01 to 10 millimolar. Percent healthy emerge shoots was recorded three weeks in the soil-based bioassay. Root length measurements were taken 2 weeks in both the filter paper and MS media bioassay, and root length measurements were taken 10 days in the hydroponic bioassay. This slide shows the response of both populations to prodiamine. For the MS media filter paper and hydroponic bioassay, the y-axis is root length, the x-axis is prodiamine concentration in millimolar. For the soil-based bioassay, the y-axis is percent emergence and the x-axis is kilograms per hectare. In MS media, the Chattanooga population exhibited greater than 20 mean root length at 1 millimolar prodiamine. The sensitive was completely inhibited. Similar results were seen in filter paper, however, the herbicide had less of an effect on both populations. However, you could obtain a discriminatory dose at 10 millimolar, where the Chattanooga population exhibited greater than 20 mean root length and the sensitive was completely inhibited. A more linear trend was seen in hydroponics, and you could really obtain a diagnostic dose at 10 millimolar, where the Chattanooga population exhibited greater than 20 mean root length and the sensitive was completely inhibited. The prodiamine didn't really have a deleterious effect on percent emergence for the Chattanooga population. However, at the lowest level of prodiamine sensitive population was almost completely inhibited. There wasn't as profound an effect on both populations with pendimethalin. However, in MS media at 0.01 millimolar, the Chattanooga population exhibited greater than 20 mean root length. In filter paper, there really wasn't much difference between the two populations. However, at 1 millimolar, the Chattanooga population exhibited greater than 10 mean root length and the sensitive was completely inhibited. There was a lot of variability seen in hydroponics with pendimethalin, but at 10 millimolar, the sensitive population was completely inhibited and the Chattanooga population exhibited greater than 10 millimeter mean root length. Again, there wasn't much of a deleterious effect on the Chattanooga population with pendimethalin. However, the sensitive population was completely, exhibited a lot lower percent emergence at the lower applications of pendimethalin. There really was no resistance detected to the dithiopyrene in MS media or filter paper. In hydroponics, we see a lot of variability, and this is interesting because dithiopyrene is the only herbicide we analyzed which has some post-emergence activity, and it's usually typically the strongest herbicide, and we weren't able to completely inhibit the sensitive population, so you really couldn't obtain a diagnostic dose utilizing dithiopyrene in hydroponics. However, interesting, in the soil-based bioassay, at 0.14 kilograms per hectare, the Chattanooga population exhibited about 70% percent emergence, and the sensitive was completely inhibited. And this is interesting because I mentioned before, there's been no reported cases of any weed being even showing minimal resistance to dithiopyrene. I want to highlight some interesting LD50s, or the amount of herbicide it takes to inhibit growth by 50%. In the MS media, the Chattanooga population was 80 times more resistant to prodiamine than the control. Compare this to pendimethalin. It was only 8 times more resistant, which means there's variability of resistance to dinitrogenolones. And Isringanol reported variability of resistance to dinitrogenolones in their PO-N ecotype. Additionally, a Palmaramorant species from South Carolina has been reported to have resistance to dinitrogenolones. In hydroponics, the Chattanooga population was about 30 times more resistant than the control to prodiamine, which means that within 10 days, we were able to harvest a mature plant and diagnose it as resistant. That's the fastest bioassay out of the four. The LD50 for the Chattanooga population in dithiopyrene was a lot higher than the control, but there's too much variability in this bioassay to utilize hydroponics to diagnose the Chattanooga ecotype as being resistant. However, in the soil-based bioassay, the LD50 for the Chattanooga population was a lot higher than the sensitive control. So here's some benefits and problems we've experienced with the screens. The soil-based bioassay is the most realistic bioassay in terms of its similarity to field conditions where resistance would actually occur. However, there's multiple confounding variables, such as microbial degradation, leaching of the herbicide, additionally, germination rate can have an effect on the bioassay as well. Filter paper, it was the easiest experiment to set up. However, there are multiple confounding variables, such as the uneven distribution of the herbicide, which can be due to evaporation, which can affect the bioassay results. Also, after 2 weeks, the roots embed into the filter paper, which makes taking root length data a little hard without tearing the roots. In hydroponics, we're able to achieve a rapid diagnosis, as I mentioned before, 10 days from mature plants to a diagnosis. However, there's multiple confounding variables, such as agitation of the herbicide, the solubility of the active ingredient might have an effect on the bioassay as well. MS Media, it is the most precise, accurate screen of the bioassays. It's sterile, and the ease of root measurement, it's very easy to take root length data because the MS Media is grown vertically, so you can just put the ruler right up to the plate and take root length data. However, you cannot obtain a quick diagnosis because it requires mature seed. So which screen's best? None has the utility of a complete diagnostic screen. The hydroponics can obtain a diagnosis within 10 days of harvesting a mature plant. However, there, as I noted before, there's variability. It could make a diagnosis with the pendimethalin or dithiapyr herbicides. The MS Media is what a researcher would want to utilize to characterize the response of that population purely to the herbicide. However, I'm sure to a turf manager, the soil-based bioassay would be the most helpful to them. What I'm doing right now is my next screen is more of a molecular-based screen. I'm sequencing the target gene alpha tubulin, and I'm hypothesizing that there is a conserved mutation that was seen in the goosegrass and the Cetera viridae dinotrilene resistant population, and ideally construct primers over that mutation and get distinguishable results from the PCR reaction on an agarose gel. And I will entertain any questions at this time.